Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, May 20th. Yeah, May 20th. Keep it going for May 20th. Come on. Isn't she lovely? May 20th, 2013. How the hell are you? You doing all right there? Huh? You doing all right with your twinkle toes over there? I'm kind of in a fucked up mood. We just got back. I was on the road with the lovely Nia for the last fucking 10 days. And I was really nervous about the whole thing, like 10 straight days, 24 fucking 7, basically, other than when I was on stage running my goddamn yap. She was going to be at my side. I was like, this is going to be bad. We only had one major fight. One major, like, go fuck yourself. I'm going to go become a sea captain. You go be an astronaut so we can be as far away from each other as possible. Only had one of those. Only had one. So we just got back to California and we, taped all these shows and shit. And she was watching one and they just showed some fucking jogger. Some jogger got mauled to death by a pack of pit bulls. So then I look up the story and it says there's been like 5 deadly attacks by dogs in California in the last whatever year, year and a half. And all of them were pit bulls. So I go to Nia, I go, what exactly do we have on our hands here? And she's like, well, I think they were different kind of owners. And I said, oh, okay. Ah, fuck me. What do I do? What do you do when you're in love with a monster? No, it's not a monster. It can be. It's kind of like a gun in the wrong hands. Is that what it is? I don't know what it is, but it fucking really made me nervous. Really fucking made me nervous. This is kind of a creepy way to start the podcast, isn't it? I usually come on, I sing a song or something, right? The summer wind, little Vegas action came blowing in from across the sea. You wore Nike flip-flops with dark black socks down to the casino floor. But since the mob has left and it's a bunch of corporate cunts, you can get away with that fashion shit. Ba-doo, ba-da, ba-da, be-doop. I don't like your white trash tattooed flabby arms. Sorry, I was just singing about what you see in casinos. You know, people who go to Vegas, can you do me a favor? Can you dress up a little bit, you fucking pieces of shit? And I was going to say, and you know who you are, all right? They don't know who they are. These fucking guys who come downstairs with like a basketball jersey on, right? No fucking shirt underneath it. Sitting there looking at the beginning or ending, depending on which way you're looking at their back, of their back acne. You know, they got the shoulder zits. Shorts, right? Flip-flops, dark fucking black socks, just standing there. I mean, back in the day when the mob ran it, if you didn't come downstairs with a collared shirt on, looking like a goddamn adult, they sent you back to your room. And they said, hey, look at me. What's the matter with you? So get it out of here. Get no fucking... All right? They sent you back to your fucking room and you came down, all right, looking like a gentleman. Ladies look like ladies, and the hooas dress like hooas, all right? And if you were some fucking piece of shit, they just threw you out. You know? How much money do we need to make? Do we need to make so much fucking money we're going to allow this fucking jerk off to be standing here like this? It was unbelievable. There were so many people dressed nicely. Ah, fuck, don't do this to me. Sorry, a little technical difficulties there. There were so many people dressed nicely. And all it takes is just somebody like that to just ruin the family photo. I actually took a picture of his flip-flops and his dark socks. You know what the funny thing was? Is the horror that was from the ankles down on this guy actually matched the casino rug. Quite nicely, I might add. I don't know if you guys have been to a lot of casinos, but there's some unwritten rule that they have to have zany carpeting. You know, I don't know if it puts you in a more festive mood as you're losing all your fucking money. I don't know what it is, but every one of those casinos, not one of them just has a nice solid color, an electric blue, a red carpet. whatever, an earth tone. None of them. It's this confetti. It's like they took all the yarn that was left over at a factory and they just sewed the shit together. I don't know. Other than that, I had a great time in Vegas. Other than when I went down to the pool. Because I go down to the pool, I'm down there, it's me, it's fucking Jay Lawhead, who's been killing it in front of me, and the lovely Nia and her cousins, and we're and we're hanging out down the pool, and they're doing the usual shit. You know, if you're a redhead and you go down to the pool, like, you're just asking for it. People all, you know, look how white you are! You know, like, I never noticed. It's like, I'm fucking around myself. I've been around myself since the 60s, the late 60s. I know how white I am. And if I ever forget how white I am, there's always somebody there to remind me. Sir, I don't know if you've noticed your skin tone. What am I, meditating, floating up out of my body? All right, so these people I'm with go, come on in the pool. I'm like, I don't want to go in the pool. I don't want to go in the fucking pool. You know, they're like, why not? Why don't you want to go in the pool? You know why? Because the fucking... Look at these people. Look at them. Look at them. And you're getting, would you take a bath with any one of the people that you see here? These fucking just messes of human beings. There's not enough chlorine in a fucking pool to kill whatever the fuck they're dragging in the pool. You know, it's like, I finally ended up going to the pool. Then everybody made fun of how white my fucking alabaster chest was. And then I had to stay in the shade of the fucking... the lifeguard's chair, you know. You know, I had a show to do. I'm being a professional. I can't come out stage later, half in the bag, looking like a lobster, right? I got to do my little song and dance later on that night. So anyway, so I ended up getting in the fucking pool against what I wanted to do, you know. And then I get out of the pool. First of all, for my age, I am in absolutely phenomenal top shelf shape. All right? I got to tell you, the humanity that I saw poolside in Las Vegas. The fucking humanity. Keyword, manatee. Not to step on Jim Gaffigan. I just realized he used to use that reference, and I'm pretty sure he used it. I can't remember how the fuck he used it, but if he used it to describe a fat, pale torso, not really pale, but whatever the fucking shit I saw, decided that he was dead on that. Oh, my God. Is there anything worse than seeing a tattoo come of age? You know? Jesus Christ, if you get a tattoo, you better just make the mental decision that you're going to P90X for the rest of your fucking life. Because when you don't, dude, I saw this guy down at the pool, all right? He had, like, not only the worst tattoos you've ever seen in your life, like, the worst placement. You know what I mean? Like, you get one, like, on the side of your arm, up by your shoulder, that looks good. Right on the bicep, that looks good, you know? Do you know somebody gets one right over their voice box? Like, I don't give a fuck what you have surrounding that leads into that part of the work or the piece, whatever they call it. It looks fucking horrible. Leg tattoos, horrific. Horrific. So this fucking jerk off, he has basically the exact sort of like tribal thing that The Rock has, except he doesn't look tribal. He looks like an accountant, you know? And he doesn't work out. So just imagine if The Rock was as pasty as I was. And it never worked out in his life. But he has that same tattoo that starts at the elbow, goes up the arm, over the shoulder, and covers one whole pec. But the way this guy had it done was it didn't cover his whole pec. It came swinging in and went right above his man nipple. So now all of that is like colored in. So because of the pastiness of his torso, your eye is just drawn to his right nipple. As he's standing in the fucking pool. My neck was sore from shaking my head at people. It was absolutely fucking horrific, right? So So anyways, I go back up to the hotel room, right? You know, got to make sure that I'm all ship shape for my goddamn show. And I put on the news. And what do they end up doing a story about? They start doing a story about the amount of fecal matter found in public pools. Right after I just got out of a goddamn pool. You know, and I know what people always think. Oh, stay away from where the kids are. Stay away from the kiddie pool, right? Stay away from that. They always blame the fucking kids. Well, you know something? After seeing what I saw poolside, you know, there weren't a lot of kids in there. But I guarantee you, somebody got a coli. I know this is fucking disgusting, but people, you're basically bathing. You know what's even more fucked up is Vegas is just like, you know, people fly in from all over the world. You're taking a fucking AIDS bath, you know, with a shot of fucking, what the hell was that shit that came out? But it killed people so fast that it just burned out. Everybody just ran into the woods. The fuck was that shit called? Ah, Christ, I can't remember. Ebola. That's it. With a shot of Ebola. Or whatever. Food poisoning. I don't know what it is. A salmonella shower. Whatever the fuck you want to call it. I'm done with public pools. The only pool that I will ever swim in again is my pool, if I ever get one, or the pool of some hot chick that I want to fucking bang because I have Nia's permission. That's the only way it's going to go down. Other than that, you know, I'll just go take a bath. That way I'm out of the sun. You know, I'll take a couple of vitamin E pills, whatever the fuck it is you get from the sun. Other than skin cancer, I'm done with it. You know what America needs to implement after years and years of calling the French people smelly? You know, that's kind of like the thing when we went over to France and saved their ass for the second time last century. Oh, wait, did we do it once? We did it one time, right? I can't fucking remember. You know, I thought the Spanish-American War took place in Texas. I thought it was somehow tied in with the Alamo. I had no fucking idea. You know why? Because they never talked about it. All I talked about was the Revolutionary War. We got right up to about the War of 1812, and that was it. French and Indian War, and then they just stopped. You know, they never did anything beyond Civil War we talked about, but that was it. Spanish-American War, as far as what I remember from Wikipedia, took place in, like, I don't know, Cuba, Puerto Rico, and, like, Guam. Figure that one out. At some point, you know, that's one of those books, like, if I ever have insomnia, I'm just going to start reading the history of the Spanish-American War, you know? I didn't realize it was an away game. I thought that that was in our building. Evidently, it wasn't. And it was spread out all over Hale. So anyways, we've always made fun of the French for how they smell. If you ever watched Bugs Bunny growing up and you saw Pepe Le Pew, if you noticed he had a French accent, you know, that's the kind of shit you couldn't get away with today because of political correctness, I guess. They were basically saying that, you know, that they stunk. But I'll tell you one thing that the French have when it comes to hygiene over Americans, all right, is the bidet. All right? I can guarantee you, if I ever go swimming in a public pool again, it's going to be in France. Unless there's a bunch of Americans. I know I've been over to England. I never saw a bidet over there. You know? A bidet is basically a car wash for your asshole. And, you know, it leaves you feeling refreshed. Puts a fucking smile on your face. And evidently in France, you're so fucking happy you forget to put on deodorant. But I'll tell you right now, you can jump in that pool. I bet they're not talking about that shit over there. Right? You know what's funny about this? I'm minutes into this podcast. I just told a 15-minute shit joke. Do you realize that? And that can mean only one thing. It's time for some advertising. And when we come back from advertising, everybody, this is what they call in the business a teaser. If I can figure out how to use this tablet. Oh, fuck you. Who's this? I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear whoever the fuck that is. Let's get to the live reads here. Oh, when we come back from the break, I'm going to tell you about meeting Pete Rose. All right, here we go. All right, stamps.com, everybody. You know it, you live it, you love it. If you're not on board yet, I don't know what your problem is. All right? You must have a crush on somebody who works at the post office. That's the only thing I can think of. You know? Is that what it is? You love the smell of envelopes? Other than that, I don't know why you're going to the post office, okay? Because why? There's nothing instant about getting postage from the post office. Driving there, parking, it's a waste of time. So use stamps.com instead. Instantly get postage for any letter or package right from your desk. Stamps.com is so quick and easy to use. You can buy and print official U.S. postage using your own computer and printer. Stamps.com will send you a digital scale that automatically calculates the exact postage you need. They'll even help you decide the best class of mail based on your needs. Not my needs, your needs. Oh, Steve Jobs, stop it with this iPhone here. Sorry about that. Anyways, there's no guesswork. Plus, it's convenient. Take care of your mailing and shipping whenever you need to, 24/7, right from your desk. You'll never have to go to the post office again or do it from the comfort of your own home like I do. I use Stamps.com to send out all my DVDs. I've never had a problem. I absolutely loved it. I hated going to the post office. I've never been happier when it comes to mail. Right now, use my last name, Burr, B-U-R-R, for this special offer, no risk trial, plus a $110 bonus offer that includes a digital scale and up to $55 free postage. Don't wait. Go to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Burr, B-U-R-R, that's stamps.com, enter Burr. What else do I got? Oh, Jesus, where's, I got to go to eVoice now. I'm using a tablet for the first time, everybody. Here we go, eVoice. eVoice is the reason you're going to make more money in 2013. You know, you thought you were going to rob a bank? No reason to do that. Just start using eVoice, and you will make more money in 2013. When your customers call, you have your own toll-free number, professional greeting, dial-by-name directory, and more. You'll sound like a Fortune 500 company and blow away your competitors. eVoice lets you give out one number that rings wherever you are. The beach, the bar, doesn't matter. You'll sound like you're at the office. You got to go to eVoice.com and use the promo code Bill. eVoice even takes all your voicemails, transcribes them, and sends to you instantly as a text or email. Sorry. So you can check eVoice mails before the meeting ends and not look rude. eVoice is only $10 a month. Right now, listeners to my podcast can get a free trial of eVoice for 30 days. Stop what you're doing, hit pause, set up your eVoice free trial, and see what I'm talking about. It's a great way to support my podcast, and an easy way to make more money this year. Go to eVoice.com, promo code Bill. That's eVoice.com, promo code Bill. Or just go to the podcast page on BillBurr.com and click the eVoice banner right now. All right. Good Lord, I just really have issues with reading out loud some weeks. Yes, some weeks, because I've been doing better recently, okay? And I know you cunts are going to give me shit.
Some weeks? What about every week? LOL, shaking my head.
Oh, here's another thing for Twitter hack. When people begin a joke with in other news, you know? That weekend update staple from 1986 on SNL. You know, blah, 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 do, 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 do. In other news, blah, 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 blah. All right. That's your joke writing class. That's probably the worst description ever. I go fuck yourself. So anyway, so I'm walking back to the hotel and I walk by this sports members. I'm back in Vegas, by the way. All right. Are you with me? We're out of the shit pool and now I'm walking through the little mall there. And I see this sports memorabilia place, and I see Pete Rose is going to be there. Like, the guy's going to be here in an hour. I'm like, I got to meet this fucking guy. It's fucking Pete Rose. And I'm looking at all the baseballs he signs. It's hilarious. He signs it hits, like, 4,256 steroids, zero. Pete Rose, hit king. I thought that was the shit. So anyways, I'd seen him signing there before, and the line was too long, and I didn't feel like waiting. So this time, me and Lawhead, who does an amazing impression of him breaking Ty Cobb's record, the entire thing, him standing on first base, hitting the ball, standing on first base, waving to the crowd, gradually trying to fight off tears, hugging his son and breaking down. He does the whole fucking thing. He does it at the Rose Bowl after cooking a delicious meal. But anyway, so I'm hanging out with Tim, and you buy all this memorabilia, and Pete Rose will sign it for you. So they had two photos, and one was Pete Rose, like, sliding headfirst into third base in the 1975 World Series when he beat my Boston Red Sox. And another photo that I saw in the collection was Pete Rose in the 1976 World Series where they beat the Yankees, once again, sliding headfirst into third base. Batting helmet, who knows where it went. It always flew off, it seemed, between first and second base. So I'm like, oh, my God, that's perfect. I got to get both of those. Right? So my whole thing is I want him to write on the Red Sox one, Bill, I'm sorry, Pete Rose. And then on the Yankee one, Bill, you're welcome, Pete Rose. Right? So I bring it up to him. Great guy. Hey, how you doing? And all that type of thing. So I tell him, I go, okay, I go, I'm a big Red Sox fan. This is you beating the Red Sox. This is you beating the Yankees. So on this one, just write, Bill, I'm sorry. And he immediately looks at me and he goes, I'm not. I fucking died laughing. I loved it. He still had that competitive thing, you know? And I was like, I know you're not. I go, say you're not. That's funny or whatever. And he didn't. He still wrote it. And then just write, you know, you're welcome on the other one. And he actually wrote Bill, I'm sorry on one. Pete Rose, 1975 World Series MVP. And on the other one, he wrote, Bill, you're welcome, Pete Rose. And then he wrote, Reds 4, Yankees 0. Something about a sweep or something like that. In fact, when I brought up the Yankees, I said, yeah, but you beat the Yankees in 1976. He goes, and he immediately goes, swept their asses. It's fucking great. So anyways, I got to meet him. We could shot the shit with him for a second. Shot the shit with the greatest hitter of all time. You know? I asked him, who's the toughest guy you ever faced? All right? I'm going to pause here. You're going to guess? Who do you think? It was a guy from the 60s. Who do you think? Huh? Who are you guessing? Bob Gibson? That's a good guess. Don Drysdale? Another good guess. Steve Carlton? It was actually Sandy Koufax. I was like, really? Sandy Koufax? And then he made this motion of like the ball just fucking dropping off a cliff. He did it with both hands. Like the guy could get it breaking either way. And, I don't know. I actually talked to him about the Red Sox. He actually, like, still watches baseball. He's totally fucking into it. And I think at first he thought me and Jay were a couple of creeps that he could tell that we really, you know, looked up to him and wanted to talk baseball. And he was fucking, you know, just totally warmed up, man. Cool as hell. So if you ever get a chance, and don't be a cunt like that little weasel that brought that shit up, all right? Everybody knows he's been on baseball enough already. You know? They didn't let him into the Hall of Fame. He signed memorabilia at a casino. He's paying the price. You know, you realize how small that is? Like, they actually had a baseball there. It was all in black that he signs, I'm sorry I bet on baseball, Pete Rose. And I'm just like, ugh, Jesus Christ. You bring that ball up to him? What kind of fucking asshole would do that? Oh, who's kidding who? Half the people on Twitter? anyways. Oh, you know what fucking blows? Doesn't blow. It was actually an awesome sporting experience. But I don't know. Some of you guys who follow me on Twitter or whatever. Last week, I was in Boston. And I'm, if you listen to last week's podcast, I mentioned that I was going to that Bruins Maple Leafs Game 7. And I did get in. I was there. I went with this comedian, Doug Sinier. Boston guy. He came up from New York. We went to the game. I had a good feeling. I thought we were going to win it. And I got to be honest with you, you know, we looked good for the first 2 minutes, and then all of a sudden it was all Leafs after that. And at 3-1, I was convinced we were going to lose. I'm like, ah, that's it. That's it. We scored two goals. That's our limit. They just scored the third. You know, the Leafs are playing great hockey. They totally got this game in hand. So, you know, and then they went up 4-1, and that's when the first, like, wave of Bruins fans started leaving. Like, 7-8 minutes left. I forget what happened. And, like, people were leaving. And Leaf fans were moving down. All right? Now, it's not like I'm sitting there going, you know, I gave them shit for leaving. I was yelling, where you going? The fuck? But my shit was more, we have to stay because I hate when the other team's fans take over your building. You know what I mean? And get to celebrate and kind of fucking dance in your living room. So after 3-1, I was convinced we were going to lose. So the only reason why I was still there was because I was there to basically give Maple Leaf fans dirty looks when they beat us so they'd have to tone down their celebration. And also to give a bad description to the cops if somebody threw something at them, you know, unless it was something major and really hurt them. So that's it. So I'd like to thank my mother for teaching me to never leave. You always stay. You never leave the game until it's over. And we stayed there. And all of a sudden, it was 4-2. Lucic scored. Then it was 4-3. 4-4. The fucking place was going insane. And I was actually nervous that, you know, in the end of regulation, that was giving Toronto a time to regroup. Almost like when you're in a fight, you know. You see a fighter and he's got the guy on the ropes and all of a sudden Saved by the Bell. I almost felt like it was like that. And I just had this, I had this gnawing feeling that they would have come out and score a quick one and all that excitement would have been for nothing. But fortunately, Bergeron scored. And I have to tell you, as far as sporting events that I've ever been to, that one is a close second to, I went to the Super Bowl when the Patriots beat the Rams for our first Super Bowl championship. And it was unbelievable. My condolences to the Leaf fans, man. I think you guys are fucking awesome fans, and I wouldn't wish what happened to you on anybody other than Montreal Canadian fans for the simple fact that they fucking deserve it. you know what's funny, though? Leaf fans are really hated. They're really hated. I don't know why. I've never understood that. Like, how you can, like, have that level of no championships. I mean, they're going on 46 years, so it's 47 seasons. They're coming up on 50 fucking years, a half a century of not winning shit, and people still hate them. I don't know what, I'm going to have to ask some Canadian people what the fucking deal is with that, because I would think that they would hate Montreal fans more, but it seems, I don't know. I was surprised, maybe they do hate Montreal fans more, I don't know, but I was surprised at the level of hatred. Like the emails that I was getting from other Canadians about how much they hate fucking Toronto Leaf Maple Leaf fans. The ones that came to the Fleet Center were cool as hell, you know? And so whatever. So now we're into the next round of the fucking Bruins. Here we go, Bruins. Here we go. Bop, bop. That's what it used to be. That after fucking the Rangers won it in 1994 and that Let's Go Rangers became so iconic. Da, 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 that fucking rhythm took over everything. So now whenever people go, let's go Bruins, I can never fully give my heart into that fucking, that chant. Because I'm always thinking, that's the Rangers chant. We were always, here we go Bruins, here we go. They were always, let's go Rangers. But like that whole cadence has taken over everything. Which the funniest one is Yankee fans. Because they used to go 1918. And then when that was over, they, for some reason, you needed four syllables. They went, they took a four, like, syllable chant, and they tried to cram, elongate the third. They basically, they went from 1918 to Boston sucks, but they kept the same rhythm. So they go, Boston sucks. Oh, those fucking hero-eating jackasses. Why wouldn't you be like, fuck you, Boston? I mean, something that fit. You know why? Because they're not that smart. Anyways. But anyway, you know what's the best thing about fucking being back in Boston? Because I watched the Red Sox game, went out to get some pizza, and I just walked. It just was so fucking nice. This is the biggest thing I miss about living in Massachusetts, is just walking into a sports bar or a fucking pizza place, and the game I want to watch is on, and everybody in there is for the team that I like. I moved away from Boston in 1995, and it's like I've been behind enemy lines here, coming up on 20 fucking years, and I'm exhausted. I'm like, I've said this before on the podcast. I'm like a sports like Donnie Brasco. You know? Somebody sent me a fucking tweet today. They go, hey, Bill, now that you live in L.A., are you a Kings fan now, or do you still have loyalty to the Bruins? And That is, I can't even relate to that fucking question. That's such a dumb question. I don't understand how people, how you root for a team your whole fucking life, and then you move somewhere else. You're like, well, I guess I'll root for these guys now. You know? I don't hate the Kings. I mean, they sucked my whole life coming up. So we never ran into them. We always ran into the Edmonton Oilers. As far as people out west, they used to fucking kick our ass. So, but even then, I didn't hate them. I hated the Canadians. I hated the Sabres. I hated Hartford. The Nordiques I didn't mind for some reason, but that was the Adams division back then, so I really didn't like them. I didn't like the Devils. Fucking Islanders were always tough. Islanders were tough. Jesus, they were tough back then in the early 80s. Obviously, they were in the middle of a fucking dynasty. So, yeah, so the person who asked me that, I don't hate the I'm not a fan. I'm actually a fan. Like, I like the way they play. I like their franchise. The same way I like, you know, I'm a fan of, like, the Devil Rays or something like that. But until they didn't let people say Devil anymore, you know? Like, Tampa needed another reason to make fun of you. Fun of them, you know what I mean? I think the name of our baseball team's too evil. I don't mind the fish part, but the other part, I just don't like. I don't even eat Devil's food cake. And I love dessert. You know what reminds me of last night? Oh, big, first of all, big thank you to the Mirage Casino for having me out there and everybody who showed up. I had so much fun, the two shows that I did out there, and they had me, you know, I took a picture of it. And I know you guys are going to shit all over me. You guys always figure out a fucking way to shit all over me, but I don't give a fuck. It's a big moment in my life. So I'm up on one of those main marquees out there. They had a big, stupid fucking redhead right up there. You know? It was fucking awesome. I was playing this theater. And it was great. It was packed both shows. Signed some DVDs. Took some pictures. Had a great fucking time. You know? You know what I did? I only gambled once. I bet on the Preakness. I came down and I was watching the Penguins Senators game, the one where fucking Crosby had the hat trick right out of the gate. And I was sitting there with Lawhead, you know, nursing a beer because I had a show that night. And I'm watching it. And in front of us, these guys were betting the horses. And I got to tell you something. There's no gamblers are funnier than people who bet the fucking horses, man. They are hilarious. They get so fucking into it. As they're coming down the home stretch, I stopped watching the hockey game. The hockey game was on the giant one. They're watching it on these little screens in like these fucking degenerate gambling cubicles. And they got their rolled up programs and they're hitting the table. Just go, come on, you six. Come on, you six. Come on, you six. Hit him. No, they literally go with the horse and go, come on, you six. 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 It's just, hit him. Hit him. Hit him. This fucking guy yelled in the casino, beat that horse. You gotta understand, I'm living out here right in fucking Tinseltown, the most liberal place ever. All right? PETA has a goddamn parade out here every fucking 3 seconds. So just to hear that, beat that horse, I was fucking dying laughing. Even though I love horses, and if I ever owned one, my dream's to own a horse and never ride it. You know, keep that fucker pure. I don't ever want to break it so it allows me to get on its fucking back. My stupid booze weight sitting on his back as it walks me up a hill. Even though if it wanted to, it could just kick me with its back foot and knock me out forever. There's something sad about that. So anyways, so I go down there the next day with Lawhead. So we put money on the Preakness. I think I can remember the fuck I even. One of the horses we bet wasn't in the race from fucking the second it started. And then my other going, I bet, was it horse number wasn't three. Something with gold in it. I can't fucking remember. It was in second place until they came around the clubhouse turn, and then that was it. But the fucking place was jam-packed, and people were going crazy for like a minute and a half or whatever it is. It's just, they go nuts the second they're let out, and then that dies down, and then they're coming around the first turn. There's this murmur. There you go. Get on the rail. Get on the rail, you know? And then as they're coming down the back stretch, that fucking shit, when they come down, and down the stretch they come, the place is going fucking crazy. Everybody's screaming. There was this one guy, I watched him, he lost six races in a fucking row. So, and I didn't bet any of the races. This guy was like the mush in a Bronx Tale. And I'm looking at, he's the guy who yelled, beat that horse, right? So I'm looking at him because I bet the Preakness. And I see him and his family sitting behind me. He's got this big shit-eating grin on his face. And I bet, I think, horse number 3 and horse number 8. And he's got this big shit-eating grin on his face. And he turned around and he looks basically over my head. He looks back at his family and he holds up number 7. And he's smiling and nodding. I'm thinking right there, I go, well, that fucking horse isn't winning. If he said 3 or 8, I swear to God, if I had any backbone, I would have tore up my ticket like fucking Chaz Palminteri and just go home, guys. It's over. So anyways, let's get on to fucking reading something for this week. I had a really interesting email from somebody. I don't know how to... What the hell is this? This is going to be brutal this week because you know what? These guys are finally working on my house and I don't have internet because the room that they did, they fucking yanked the thing out of the wall. All right, here we go. Helping an ugly friend. Do you have an ugly friend? Sure, we all do. Here we go. Dear William Burr, thanks for doing the podcast. Thank you. One of my good friends is ugly. I'll say it outright. God bless his heart. He's 26, short, disproportionate face. I don't know what that means. Skinny with a gut slowly forming. Oh, God. Receding hairline. Jesus. And worst of all, he doesn't take care of his teeth. Yeah. Wow. Jesus fucking Christ. All I thought of there was Clint Howard. Over the past couple of years, he's gotten more and more bitter about life. I believe it's due to his insecurity about his looks and attracting women. He has a great degree, really well-paying job, good sense of humor, and can talk to the ladies. However, he lacks the killer instinct needed to close the deal, meaning he gets friend-zoned with every girl that is possibly interested, which is very few. Well, you're kind of talking out of both sides of your mouth. If you're saying he's great with the women, but he just can't close the deal, why are there only a few women interested in him? What are you going to say? See the first paragraph where you decide to fuck? You basically described a troll. Myself and close friends have been subtly pushing him to work out, clean his teeth, eat healthy, etc. But he gets very offended whenever we suggest anything. He seems to be set on a path of thinking he is going to have to wait until his 40s before women will be desperate enough to ignore his looks and date him for his successful career. This type of attitude is starting to affect his friendships. He is getting bitter and defensive, and confrontational. Nobody likes an angry troll. They really don't. Okay, if you're going to go the troll route, you know, you got to be at the very least affable. You know, working your way towards jolly, I would think. Maybe you could put on a silly hat, build some toys. I don't know. As his friend, how can I help him get off this path and boost his confidence to get that killer instinct and confidence that the ladies love, even if you're ugly. Thanks for the advice and go fuck yourself. P.S. Shout out to the beautiful city of Boston. I was there last year for a hockey tournament and can't wait to go back. P.S.S. Fuck your Bruins. I've lost 2 years of my life due to the stress of the Maple Leaf series. Oh, Jesus. Guy must have sent that before it was over. All right. So what do you say to this guy? Oh, wow. Well, I don't know him, but at some point, you're just going to have to fucking lay it on the line and say it to him and say, like, look, you know something? You're just like me. All right? You want to have fun? You want to go sow your oats, as they say? And then you want to find love and get married and start a family, correct? You know, you got to brush your fucking teeth. I don't know how to... How do you go into it slowly? Like, this is, no matter how you come at it, when somebody's defensive, there's no way to come at them without burning up in the atmosphere of their fucking bitterness during reentry. How do you do it? I would wait till the next time he says something bitter and or defensive or something like that and just look at him and be like, listen, dude, you're your own worst enemy. All right? Life is a horse race, and you're shooting yours in the back of the head before the fucking gate even opens. Then you're walking around the track with mud on your shoes, you know? Wondering why, why you're fucking some other horse racing thing that I don't know shit about. I picked the wrong metaphor. You know what I mean? Just wait till he's being a cunt. I remember one time I knew this guy. He was just negative as fucking hell. And you'd say, hey, you know something? If you keep doing this, maybe this will happen. And then he'd always be like, yeah, you know, with my luck, the fucking piano will fall on my head. And I got sick of it. And then finally I'd be like, yeah, you know, well, you know, if you think that way, that's probably going to happen. And I only said it one time, and he never talked that way again. He's still negative, but I didn't have to deal with that shit. I don't know what to do with this guy. Like, you might have to fucking channel Patrice O'Neill. God rest his soul. Patrice O'Neill would have sat this dude down and would have said, N-word, what the fuck are you doing? Look at yourself. You know? You got a fucked up face. You're losing your goddamn hair. At the very least, brush your fucking teeth. Get some fucking better clothes. What's wrong? I can't do what he would have done. He would have been able to do it. He would have hurt the guy's feelings so bad while helping him to become a better person at the same time. You're going to have to come up with your own fucking version of that. You know? I don't know. What do you do? When somebody just stops brushing their teeth, you're just tapping out on humanity. And you're saying he's smart and he has a degree. He's not one of those. Is there anything worse than somebody really smart with bad fucking hygiene? You know those people? They're so fucking smart. They show up. They got like sleep in their eye. Oh, God. Dude, bad teeth is a goddamn deal breaker. You know? Jesus fucking Christ. You know what's funny? I'm disgusted with this guy. Don't you get any, you know, any fight in you? You just going to quit? You fucking asshole. I was born with orange hair. Did I quit? I got great teeth. Did I ever stop brushing? No, I didn't. I got second and third degree burns when I went out in the sun. You know? Did I stop flossing? I didn't. Quit fucking moping around, you ugly motherfucker. You get yourself some scope and Listerine and a fucking scrub brush. You go to a goddamn dentist, you get your fucking teeth clean. All right? When you hit on a woman, you stay on it. You keep those plates spinning. Always have a condom. Always be ready. What time is it?
It's good time.
Right? Do something like that. I don't know what the fuck to tell you. That fucking, there's nothing that annoys me more than watching somebody just quit. Tell him that. Tell him stop being such a fucking baby. This fucking 8-year-old sewing together his goddamn shirts. It's probably toddlers making the toothbrushes that he's not even using. Oh, poor fucking baby. You know? You don't look like John Davidson. Who gives a fuck? Brush your teeth. Shave your fucking head down. All right? Go to the gym. Give yourself a fighting chance. Stop treating yourself like you're the Pirates. You know? Or running yourself like the fucking Pirates do. What did I do to this goddamn thing? All right. Sorry, man. There's just something really fucking gets me about people who do that shit, who just fucking quit. It's nothing worse than that. Unless you really just truly suck at something. Like, you know, like you guys hear I sing. I'm terrible. But it's funny because it's the podcast. But if I was actually trying to sing professionally, that's one thing. You really should quit. And fucking do something else. Just for your fellow man, you know? But you're just a quit. You're just going to quit? I'm legitimately disgusted with that person I never met before. I don't know what to tell you. What an asshole. Ugh. Fuck, and he gets bitter. You know what that reminds me of? Some reason, there was one time I was doing a show, and there was somebody in the front row that was mentally challenged. So there's no way I'm fucking with this guy. And then I get on stage, and the kid's a cunt. He starts fucking heckling me. You know? And every time I don't say anything back, he gets a little more fucking confident. And then finally, I was just like, you know what? I can't remember what the fuck I said to him. The crowd pulled back. And I'm like, you know what? Fuck this guy. Fuck this guy. They're just like everybody else. Okay? Some of them are cunts. And this is a great example. So fuck you, buddy. I kind of kept it at that. It was really a fight. That guy fucking annoyed me. I was doing some hell gig the first time I lived out here in L.A. I'm standing in some fucking Mexican restaurant. I'm getting fucking heckled by this kid. All right? I don't even know what I'm doing living in L.A. I'm going through that fucking bullshit. But you know what? I didn't quit. I brushed my teeth before that fucking show. Dude, when you just don't brush your teeth, you just tapped out. You're just saying, fuck it. Why won't this... Wait a minute. Why won't this thing fucking load? Ah, Jesus Christ. You know, you guys hear me battling this shit every week. Do I fucking quit this? Loading. How do I make it go back? Oh, I was doing so well, and all I had to do was read a couple more, and I was done. What if I shut it off, and then I turn it back on again? What happened? Oh, Jesus Christ. I swear to God. How do these things make your fucking life easier? Can somebody please explain it to me, how it makes it easier? Oh, sure. It's easier to go shopping or find out, you know, what your fucking neighbor jerks off to. But other than that, how does it make your fucking life easier for someone like me? Hey, Nia! Nia! I know she hears me. And that's the thing that slowly kills you in a relationship. I know she fucking hears me. And I know she hears the panic in my fucking voice. And I know she knows that I need her. And she just goes, I got to hit pause. God fucking damn it. Hang on a second. Every fucking week. All right, I'm back. Here we go. Hulu Plus, everybody. You've tried streaming hit shows on your PC on Hulu.com. Now it's time to start your free trial of exclusive content in your living room and on your mobile devices on Hulu Plus. With Hulu Plus, you get total control to watch thousands of shows wherever you want, whenever you want. Use Hulu Plus on connected TVs, game consoles, Blu-ray players, Roku, Apple TV, PC, or watch from anywhere on your smartphone or tablet on demand at all times. Jesus Christ, I'm going to get this. This is phenomenal. And with Hulu Plus, you can binge on full seasons, watch your favorite current shows, and even full series runs of classic TV shows. It's endless. Are you serious? You know, I usually just read these things. This is actually impressive as hell. They've got Community, Modern Family, South Park, SNL, Monday Night Raw, The Man Show, Jimmy Kimmel, Family Guy, and more. Feel free to swap this out with shows on the list. I guess I wasn't supposed to read that. Hulu Plus is only $7.99 per month. But right now, they're offering an extended free trial of Hulu Plus that is only available to podcast listeners. Take control of your TV watching experience. Yeah, you don't need networks anymore. You create your own network. You watch it when you want, where you want, and on whatever the hell you want. Other than the back of your hand, you're going to be good. Go to the podcast page at BillBird.com and click on the Hulu Plus banner for your extended free trial, or go to HuluPlus.com/Bill. Again, click the Hulu Plus banner on the podcast page at BillBird.com or go to HuluPlus.com/Bill. That's phenomenal. That is absolutely phenomenal. I wonder if I can watch NHL games there. Oh, here's some of the shows available. Downton Abbey. It's not downtown. The Vampire Diaries. The Game. New Girl. I was on that. The Office. Glee. The Mindy Project. Parks and Rec. Late Night with Jimmy Fallon. Wow, they got everything. You know what? That's pretty damn cool. I like it. All right, next thing here. What do we got? LegalZoom.com, everybody. America was built by innovators and dreamers. People like Edison, Henry Ford, and Steve Jobs. But it's the inventors and entrepreneurs all around us. People like, you know what? Fuck that. I'm doing a different read. I'm not saying Steve Jobs. I'm not saying it. All right? I'm sick of this guy getting credit like he fucking did everything. Oh, my God, these baby boomers are so obnoxious. Let's start over again. LegalZoom.com. LegalZoom.com. America was built by innovators and dreamers. People like Edison, Henry Ford, and Albert Einstein. But it's the inventors and entrepreneurs all around us. People like you that make America, Bill Gates, make America such a great country. Aaron Spelling. This month, LegalZoom celebrates innovations by helping you launch your dream. Apply for a patent to secure your invention. Register your trademark to protect your products and services. Incorporate or form an LLC and launch your business dream. Just call or visit LegalZoom.com and they'll take care of you from start to finish. They've already helped about a million businesses get started and they got them started right. Celebrate innovation with LegalZoom.com and for a limited time, get a special price on trademark, copyright, and patent applications by using the referral code Burr at checkout. Protect your creations and launch your dream at LegalZoom.com. LegalZoom can provide self-help services at your specific direction, or they can connect you to an attorney, but they are not a law firm. Don't forget to use that referral code Burr, B-U-R-R. All right, there we go. Back to the podcast. Yep, bop, 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 boo-doo-boo. All right, experience with a threesome. All right, firstly, congrats on the podcast. Love you. All right. Anyways, in a recent podcast, you mentioned a guy who wants to bang another chick in front of his wife. Then you asked if someone's got some good stories. No, no, no. She wanted him to do it. Oh, by the way, somebody else gave me a great insight to that, which was that his wife or girlfriend did the same thing. Said she wanted to see him have sex with another woman. And it turned out that she was trying to lessen her guilt because she already fucked around on him. So, you know, it's a tangle web being weaved here. Out of the pussy he is. After countless efforts of hitting on this chick in my class, I found out that she was engaged, so I gave it a rest. Not long after, she started hinting sexual stuff all the time, getting a little too comfortable with the touching. I've been a moron with shit like this and fucked myself over to bang some random chick who turns out to be a psycho at least a couple of times. Oh, so you're sitting there going, I think this girl's giving me sexual vibes, but I don't want to be an idiot and shit where I eat. Is that what you're saying? Well, you're not here to tell me either way, so that's what I'm going to think. So anyways, he goes, I started to question her about her man and what she really wants if she's just being a tease. She said she suggested to her fiancé to have a threesome with another chick from class. Now she wants the two-dude type of deal. Tag teaming, double penetration, or whatever else you want to call it. Dude, right there, that's not your wife. Okay? That is a free fucking spirit. Okay? You bang her, and then you hand her backpack, and you let her continue walking down the road with that little saucepan. Clink, 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 the pots and pans clinking off the back. Anyways, he goes, I can't say it was comfortable, so I had to lay some ground rules. No eye contact between the guys, no sword crossing, etc., etc. Dude, I got to tell you something. What is in it as a guy to have a fucking two-on-one with another dude? Although I know one guy who I actually understood it because they would be doing the rotisserie with some girl. And they would, well, you know, she can't look at them, obviously, because she's busy. And what they would do is they would try to make each other laugh. Now, to me, that's fucking hilarious. And unless you're the woman. You never want to hear somebody just go in the middle of fucking having sex with you, I guess. Are you laughing at my ass? About a week later, let's get back to the thing here. About a week later, chick invited me to the house. I'm sorry I'm having more trouble than usual reading this. I keep touching this fucking tablet thing here and shit just keeps popping up. I don't know how to get rid of it. All right, I think we're back to normal here. So he goes, about a week later, the chick invited me to the house to prepare a presentation and asked the dude if he was okay with everything that happened. He said, well, she let me have it with another chick, so it's totally fair. Oh, okay, so you guys haven't done it yet. So did you guys come in there and dressed in like power suits with like a fucking little briefcases? He's sitting at the end of a long table, you know, with his elbows on the table and all fingertips touching each other. And how do you plan to make my dick some money this week? Anyways, he goes, so I asked if he was okay with it. His eyes started getting all watery and face got red and that vein in the forehead starts popping. He says it fucks him up every time he thinks about it, but it also turned him on to a whole different level. I asked whether he still wanted to be married to her. He said he doesn't know and excused himself. I asked what her vision behind this whole shit was, and apparently she takes pleasure to see him jealous and can't do anything about it. She likes the whole watching her being fucked by a man or a woman. She doesn't want to hurt him, so she lets him in on the action, but she loves this swinging type of shit a lot more. Oh, my God. So wait a minute. So you did it. Right? Dude, you're leaving out words here, and you're making a dumb guy sound even worse here. Let me go back up. About a week later, a chick invited me to the house to prepare a presentation, and I asked the dude if he was okay with everything. That happened. Oh, my fault. I read it wrong. Or I wasn't listening as I was talking because I was so nervous about fucking up the next sentence. Oh, my God. Dude, what the fuck is wrong with you that you went back? You know, like you're doing some follow-up survey. This whole thing is weird. So when he goes, well, let's just say things were awesome in my shoes, but I felt a little bad that they broke up. Dude, you know what you did? You just saved a fucking soul. The soul that the two of them were going to fucking make, okay? That soul will go into a fucking different person. I don't know how it works. I'm not a religious guy. But yeah, you just stopped a kid from being brought into the world by a couple of fucking people who need to go to therapy, I think. I guess I'm judging. I don't know what. Those aren't parents. Anyways, funny thing is, he still goes over to fuck her and another partner. Sometimes even another couple partners swapping thing. Basically swinger fuck buddies. Oh yeah, well, you opened Pandora's box. Now, no pun intended, now it's no biggie to him. He goes, I wouldn't call them freaks. They're awesome people, but this type of shit doesn't usually work out for the best in relationships, let alone a marriage. Excuse my bad grammar and poor descriptive skills. Well, you know what? You should have started your email with that so everyone wouldn't think that it was me. Wow, man. I've never been involved in any shit like that. I never had a threesome or anything. I think I could have had two. I'd said this before. One of them, I was so young and stupid. I was actually annoyed with the other girl going, why won't she fucking leave so I can bang her friend? You know, I didn't get that she was lingering around. That one kills me because they were both fucking great looking. And then the other one was a layup, but one was fucking gorgeous and the other one looked like a goddamn refrigerator. She was like fucking 6'2", one of those rich people refrigerators, you know what I mean? That's just built into the fucking wall. That's what she looked like. And it's just like, I would need one of those, like, some rock climbing shit to fucking handle that one. So I gracefully bowed out of that. Yeah, that's an entire... Let me ask you this, sir. Do you live in Atlanta? I always get that fucking freak vibe in Atlanta. Anyways, here we go. Philosophy workshop. I'm doing a philosophy workshop this summer called Rape Jokes and Other Offense. Dude, what is with all this fucking babbling about rape jokes? I swear to fucking Christ, I go to comedy clubs all the time. Like, you're making it seem like every 5 seconds somebody talks about it. You know, these fucking idiot bloggers blogging about what kind of fucking joke. Do you understand how fucking dumb that is? That's like if you played guitar and you start blogging about what chords people should and shouldn't use. Good fucking Lord. It's not even frustrating. It's bizarre. It's really bizarre, and I've yet to see anybody, I don't know, anybody that's kind of doing anything or who's considered funny that's really going around telling people what they should talk about. Why don't you work on your own act? You know, if you don't like rape jokes, don't do any. I don't like country music. I would never say don't do fucking country music. It's bizarre. The whole fucking, the whole thing is just fucking, you know, I'm going to stop talking about this because I'm just going to add fuel to the fire. Let's just blow through these dumb questions here. Can people be inappropriately offended? If so, how do we draw the line between a pro? This is so fucking stupid. Don't go to a comedy club. Oh my God, I went to the pool and I got wet. Is there a way to make the pool drier? How wet is too wet? Is being offended a moral response? If what kind of response? If you're morally wrong, someone, it's appropriate for you to feel guilt. Who is this one of these bloggers who wrote this? I find that whole thing unbelievably childish and silly. I'm not even going to give it any fucking time of day. What about chickens? What about the chickens who died? And you're talking about eating a chicken BLT. Anyways, plowing ahead here. Met girl last week of school. Hey, Bill, this past weekend, I made out with this girl I've been talking to at school. Since then, we've been talking nonstop, and I really like her, and I think she likes me. Oh, isn't this nice? But in a little more than a week, we will both be graduating. She lives in Philly, and I live right outside of New York. Well, you can kiss that pussy goodbye. Sorry, that was mean. All right. She's really cool and different than all the other girls at school. I'm just wondering what you think I should do. This upcoming week is senior week. You know what? I shouldn't have said that. You actually like this girl. I apologize. I'm an idiot. I'm going to treat it with respect for the rest of this. For the rest of this fucking email. This upcoming week is senior week, a week full of drinking and nonstop partying until graduation. I know we're going to be hanging out all week, and I just want to get your thoughts on what I should do after graduation. I really like her. She's pretty smart and is into a lot of the same stuff I am. Anywho, thanks for everything. Big fan of you and the podcast, and I just watched Stand Up Guys. Hilarious. Oh, thank you. That sound you make when you get shot made me laugh so hard. Yeah, got shot in the head. You're not going to make a graceful noise. All right, where are we going here? What do we do here? You know what, sir? You're at that time in your life where you have to figure this shit out. You can't ask someone as old and as jaded as me, because you heard what I said right out of the gate. It was fucking insensitive, and it was mean, and it had nothing to do with you or the wonderful woman that you're dating. It had to do with me and the train wreck of my fucking dating career, all right? So there's your lesson. Here's your lesson, something that I learned. Tom Papa taught me this one. Anytime I make a big decision in my life and I tell people about it, I realize that most of the time their reaction has nothing to do with what I'm doing. It has everything to do with them. So I say, look, if you like this girl, you know, it's the long distance thing is really hard. You're going to go to, you guys are both going to different colleges. I mean, it's like a fucking nightclub. And just all these single people. Like, you're never going to be in a greater nightclub than college. And it's just a shame that when you're going through it, you don't realize it. It's just, you have the pick of the litter, you know? But the problem is you're I don't know. You want all these experiences. You're just getting out from underneath your parents. And they should really have college like when you're 25, 26. All right? And just make it illegal to get married until then, you know? You just kind of have a good time. Figure out what the fuck you want. Then you go to college. And you got this, your pick of all these fucking people. Maybe not 26. By then you're a little bit, I don't know. It's just everybody kind of in the prime of their life before they get jaded and that type of shit. So you know what I would do, sir? I would follow your heart. That's my advice. And I wouldn't listen to old grizzled asshole like myself. All right? Good luck to you. I hope it all works out. Yeah, you follow your heart. You'll never be wrong. You can still get hurt, but you're not wrong. Because everybody hurts. Sorry. Wife is getting heavy. Oh, Jesus. Dear Bildo. I didn't get that at first. shit, I didn't get that. That's fucking hilarious. I read it and it didn't make sense till it came out of my mouth. I saw Doe, D-O-E, like Doe, we're dear. I was like, what is he calling me, a fucking Bambi or something? I didn't get it. Oh my God, that's fucking funny. Love the podcast. You stand up. the best guest on Rogan, yada, yada. All right. I'm a 26-year-old feller from Maine, due to tie the knot in October with my lady of 7 years. And we have a great relationship and are very happy. Well, congratulations, sir. You've hit the lottery. You're living in God's country. You know, you got yourself a great woman. You got a great start here. Where is the left turn coming, everybody? Let's continue reading. She's smart and didn't take shit from no one. She has stuck with me, supported me through my OxyContin addiction, of course. Fucking Maine. You know what? I had a small part in a movie. I was going to do something called Blue Potato last September, and the dates didn't end up working out, and it was all about the Oxy problem up there in Maine. So look for that movie, because the fucking script was great. There you go. There's a little inside Hollywood shit. All right, here we go. She helped me get through out when my mom died. All right, this guy did some Oxy. And when he was doing the Oxy, he did not take a spelling class. All right, let's back up here. Helped me get through when my mom died. She has stuck with me and helped me raise and support my niece from the time she was born till present. Oh, yeah, this girl's a champ. My niece is now almost 4. And now helping me support... You're jumping back and forth here, sir. So now this wonderful woman, I'm going to help you out here, is now helping me support my father, who can't work due to him dying with multiple melanoma marrow cancer. Bone marrow cancer. Jesus Christ. Not melanoma. Myeloma? Bone cancer? I don't know how to read that word, sir. Oh, Jesus. Bill, just get to the end of this fucking thing so we can all stop staring awkwardly down at our pen and pencil set. Okay, guys, here we go. All of this while holding a full-time job and going to college to be a psychological nurse. Psychological nurse, okay. Bill, she is an angel, and I don't know what I would do without her, but I have one little problem. Over the last few years, she's been putting on the pounds. She loves to eat. Dude, I read in the beginning of this, wife is getting heavy, and I'm like, where's the left turn? I have the memory of a fucking ant. Jesus Christ, Bill. Stop talking on the cell phone. Anyways, she's been putting on the pounds. She loves to eat. I guess she stresses out with everything, but she's gained a lot of weight in the last 3 years. I'm talking at least 80 pounds. No, you can't have that. Can't have that. 80 pounds, I mean, she's almost morbidly obese. 100 pounds is like morbidly obese. 30 pounds is obese. So she's going to fucking die. Anyways, he got to the point where she almost weighed more than me, and I'm not a small guy, 6 feet, 240, but in shape for the most part. I've got at least 5 inches height on her and only weigh 10 to 15 pounds more than her. It's not making me not want to tie the knot with her, but if we're going to do it for the long haul, I don't want her to have a heart attack at the age of 40. How do I bring this up? Because as all men know, you don't bring up a woman's weight. Help me, dollar bills. All right. I'll tell you. This is how you do it. You need to lose some weight, right? All right? How do you do this? What you got to do is you bring her in the fold by talking about your own shortcomings with you know, whatever weight problem you have. Because what are you? You're 6 feet, 240. You know? Dude, you could stand to lose a good 25, 30 yourself, you know? Get down to that 215, 210. You know, you guys are getting married. Just say, you know what? Let's fucking, watch one of those late night things. And just get her into it. You know what? This is what you do first. I got it. This is what I would do with her. You're living up there in Maine. It's absolutely gorgeous. Just say you want to take her on a picnic. She likes food. All right, but what you don't say is there's going to be a mile long hike. And when she opens the picnic basket, you got Brussels sprouts in there, right? No, you can't do it like that. But I would start enjoying the outdoors more. And I would get into some activities. And what I would do is just slowly, if you guys are living together, just start introducing healthier fucking foods into the fridge and the cabinets and toss another shit. And... just see how that works. And if she calls you on it, you just got to come clean. Just say, honey, I love you to death. You're the woman of my dreams. I want to marry you. And The last thing I ever want to do is hurt you, and I just don't know how to bring up that I'm concerned that I'm going to lose you. And she'll be like, what are you talking about? And if you just bring it up, the fact that you're concerned that you're going to lose her someday, and you bring it into the weight thing, and then when she cries or whatever, blah, blah, hold her, tell her you love her, and just say, listen, I got to lose some weight too. You helped me through the oxy thing, all right? To the point I'm kind of paunchy right now. Let's get our weight down for these kids we don't have yet. You know, just do that. Try that. I'll see how that fucking works. And if it blows up in your face, I apologize. But I got to tell you that hiking thing's a little sneaky. You know, start going for walks. If you hold their hand, they don't notice that they're hiking. You know, that's what you do. Hold her hand. Hold her hand and then have a guitar that you go fucking acoustic guitar. You got it thrown around your back like you're going to serenade her. And she'll just be so blown away, she won't notice that you walk 3 miles up a mountain. You know? And then when you get up there, you sing that, the bear went over the mountain. And all that he could see. I'm sorry. Girlfriend going to Vegas alone. Oh, God. Oh, as Joe DeRosa says, you hate to see it. Oh, you hate to see it. I got to have him. I'm going to be going to New York next week. I should have him on the podcast next week. I should really do that. I'm going to reach out to Joe. You know, I'm actually going to reach out to his people and see if they can get in touch with Joe. He's just finishing the European leg of his latest CD. Smash it. What was it called? Something Personal, I believe is what he put it out as. Anyways, my girlfriend of 2 years and I have a great relationship. We're in our 30s and get along better than anyone I've dated before. I have no complaints. You guys always start this shit. Like, guys go always just like, fucking love her. She's fucking great, but, you know, she has a dick. All right. He goes, I have no complaint with the way things are going. Neither of us are looking at marriage in the future. She's divorced and doesn't want to try again, and I've never intended to get married. Well, then what? You guys, you're fuck buddies. He goes, we just enjoy each other's company, and I couldn't be happy with her. Here's the thing. She still gets the urge to go out and dance to blow off some steam sometime, but I avoid it. It's not that I don't know how to dance, but let's just say that I partied my way through college, and immersing myself in that scene again only gets me into trouble with those mood-enhancing substances. She's got a great job, and unlike me, can afford to go on a little vacation. She picked Vegas. And no, I'm not the least bit worried about her banging some other dude. She's into the ladies. Oh, she is. And has my unwavering permission to go out and have her fun with them as long as she's safe about it. A threesome has always been on the table in the past, but I honestly think I'd opt out just so we don't have the potential for any jealousy to show its face in our relationship. That's a smart move. Watching is good enough for me. Anyway, back to the issue at hand. I have no issues with her going, but I'm worried that I'm not fulfilling her need to go out and party. That's what I was going to say. I was actually going to suggest that. He said, let me go back here. I'm not fulfilling her need to go out and party at the club every so often and don't want it to build into a serious problem. She doesn't go clubbing on the regular. This is her first time doing anything like this since we started dating. Do I need to grow the fuck up, put my past behind me, and start taking my lady out to the club? Or I just let her keep going out on her own? I think it's perfectly normal for two people in a relationship to have activities that they do on their own. I'm into outdoor sports, and she's into going dancing. We both need our adrenaline source outside of our great sex life together. She says she's not planning on hooking up with a lady while she's out there, and I wouldn't care either way. But am I setting myself up for failure in the future, not taking her out myself? Or do I just let her go and let her have her fun? I would tell her what you told me. Just say, listen, I did the party scene in college. No, start with saying, like, listen, I'm worried that because I don't take you out dancing, eventually that's going to lead to X, Y, and Z. And I have to tell you that the reason why I take you out is not because... The reason I don't take you out is not because I don't want to take you out. It's because I did the college partying scene, and I'm worried that if I go into that scene again, I'm going to get in trouble with, you know, whatever drugs you were using. You know, so much of this relationship shit is just fucking taking a deep breath and just saying it. You know, saying why you're doing whatever the fuck it is that you're doing. And, you know, You can't fuck with honesty. I mean, you can be upset by it. I want to fuck your friend. There. It's out there. All right. Here we go. Third break. Oh, my God. Hour and 15 minutes. You guys got your money's worth, huh? Here we go. Personal capital, everybody. Two things suck about managing your money. It's hard to keep track of. You got stocks, bonds, 401k, IRA, bank accounts, etc., all on different sites with their own username and password. They literally just described my financial situation. And every month I get like 19 statements and I look at them and I rub my chin and I can't tell which end is up. So anyways, they say here, then you pay someone to manage it and you're probably paying too much. All right? That's why you got to love personal capital. It takes under a minute to set this up. Just go to the podcast page on billburr.com and click the personal capital banner. Then you can see your whole net worth and how each asset is performing on one screen on your computer or through their app on your phone or tablet. Doesn't get easier than that. Then it shows you how much you're paying money managers and brokers and fees and how you can reduce those fees, and even gives you specific areas where you can improve your investment strategy. So in other words, the entire operation is transparent, the exact way you want it to be when you're dealing with your money. This thing is a really smart way to make your money grow quicker. It's run by the former CEO of PayPal, and it's totally free. To sign up for free, go to the podcast page on billburr.com and click on the personal capital banner. There you are. And finally, Father's Day is around the corner. What does that mean? This Father's Day, what are you going to be thinking? You got to think the man great. What is the man great, you ask? They are 100% made in America. Cast iron grilling grates that are revolutionizing the way people grill. Heavy-duty grilling grates deliver exactly what you need to achieve that perfect steakhouse flavor. Chicken, steak, or veggies will never have tasted so good. You know the deal. You go out, you buy your favorite grill. Everything's cool. You got the gas. You got the charcoal, whatever you want to use. But then they give you that little wimpy grate, you know? Looks like a bunch of pretzel rods welded together. This looks like those steakhouse ones, you know? I'll read more about it here. No more flare-ups, no more dry meat, guaranteed. Name one of 2012's best grilling accessories by Men's Health Magazine. Mangrates are the perfect gift for dad this Father's Day. Go to mangrate.com and enter the coupon code BURR for their $19.99 Father's Day special or click the Mangrate banner on the website. 100% made in America. 100% cast iron, 100% steakhouse quality grilling in your backyard. I got to tell you, I actually use something like this. I got the giant egg. And the only reason why I didn't do the man grate is because they don't have one big enough for it. But it's the exact same kind of thing. It makes all the difference in the world. And I'm telling you, you're not going to go wrong with this. And your dad, he's going to break down and cry and hug you. And if he doesn't, then I don't know what to tell you. Remember, each Monday morning podcast order comes with a heavy-duty grilling brush. Again, that's the Mangrate Grill Enhancement System. Order today, mangrate.com, and enter the coupon code BURR, B-U-R-R, at the checkout. All right? Well, that's the podcast this week, everybody. I hope you guys have been enjoying the NHL playoffs. I know I talk about them a lot, but they're really starting to get great. I haven't watched any of the out the West, but I love what the LA Kings are doing. There's nothing I love seeing better than when a team that knows how to win just flips the switch. It's an incredible thing to watch. It really is. I haven't been watching, but I've been watching the results of their games. The fucking guys, what do they do? They lost two in a row to the Blues, then came back, won the last four, and they won the first two against the Sharks, and then the Sharks won in overtime. But that's my dark horse out West for taking out the, the winner of the Blackhawks, Red Wings. Obviously, the favorite is the Blackhawks. The Kings are a very, very dangerous team. And I'm obviously loving how the Bruins are playing, but I got to tell you, the Penguins have so much talent. But the goaltending is shaky. That's their Achilles heel there, you know? And you know why they still have Achilles heel? Because Matt Cook plays for him. So he didn't slice it off with his skate accidentally. Oh, by the way, Phil Jackson, I got a gloat here, a little gloating moment at the end of the podcast. Phil Jackson wrote a book and had some interesting things to say about Kobe. So I just want to ask Laker fans, is he also a hater? He won 5 championships with that guy, you know? And if you read between the lines of what Phil Jackson writes in his book about Kobe, all right, you'll basically have exactly what the fuck I've been saying. All right? So there you go. I fucking called it, just like Paul Verzi. That's it. That's the podcast for this week. Once again, thank you to everybody who came out to the Mirage Casino, and thank you to the Mirage Casino and everybody out in Vegas. That really was a dream come true to perform at such a legendary casino and have all those people come out. And I got treated like a fucking king there. And we're actually hoping that that's going to be my home base and I can come out there because of the turnover, because every day, I don't know, like 100,000, 200,000 people leave, another 200,000 come in. I'm really hoping that that can become my home away from home. That's what we're going to be working towards. So that is it for the podcast. As always, Amazon.com banner on, if you want to donate to this podcast, you just go to BillBurr.com, click on the podcast page, and just click on the Amazon banner, and brings you right to Amazon. Whatever you buy, they kick me a portion. Doesn't cost you any money. They kick me a little juice. I take part of that, and I throw it to the Wounded Warriors Project. So you support me, and you're supporting the all the heroes who've come back from fighting these wars here. And last but not least, we have the download of my latest special, You People Are All the Same, digital, or if you want a hard copy DVD, you can get them right off BillBurr.com. That's it. I hope you guys have a great week. Go fuck yourselves. And also, now that the show is over, go set up your free trial of eVoice so you can start making more money. Go to eVoice.com and use your promo code Bill. That's eVoice.com, promo code Bill, or just go to the podcast page on BillBurr.com and click the eVoice banner right now. Ladies and gentlemen, now that the show is over, go sign up for your free account with Personal Capital so you can see all of your assets on one screen, pay less in broker fees, and make all your investments grow faster. Go to the podcast page on BillBurr.com, click on the Personal Capital banners. That's the podcast page on BillBurr.com to click on the Personal Capital banner and set up your free account.